This morning we return to our survey of the book of Romans and still working out of chapter 15. The book of Romans, chapter 15. Before we look together at some instruction from the Apostle Paul, again let us pray and ask the Lord's help. So let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, indeed we thank you again and again for the Holy Scriptures. And as regards this particular epistle, Lord God, you did move the Apostle Paul to set forth the words that we shall look at this morning. And indeed, this letter was sent to a church during a time when there was great chaos in the Roman Empire. There were wars, rumors of wars. Lord God, there was great moral decadence, and the church was being attacked by false doctrine. But nevertheless, you wanted your people to hear these words. And in your providence, you have brought us to these words. And so we ask that you would make them to be profitable to us. Help us to understand. Help us to work them out in our lives. We ask this mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine that a time or two you have heard the Christian testimony that usually goes something like this. As a believer, I'm not what I should be, but thank God for His grace, I'm not what I used to be. As a believer, I'm not where I should be as far as maturity and understanding. But thank God by His grace, I'm not what I used to be. And certainly that's a testimony that every true believer can give. By the grace of God, there has been a change in your life. One of the evidences that a person is a true believer is a changed life. When that saving grace of God works within a person, a change takes place and changes continue to take place. Where you have the operation of the saving grace of God, that person changes their way of thinking about God, about Jesus Christ, about sin, especially their own personal sin. And they begin to think differently about the world in which they live. They begin to think differently and make changes as regards their conduct, how they live in this world. They even go so far as to reflect and think about their motives, and there they make changes. And add to that, there is this change as regards a view of the church. My, there develops this love for the church. There develops this love for fellow believers in Jesus Christ. You enjoy their company. You like to talk to them. Yes, about the things of the Lord, about a variety of things. There is this change that has taken place. And you remember the words of the Apostle John. Hereby we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. That's an evidence of regeneration. We have passed out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And what's one of the evidences? We love the brethren. We love, we like, we enjoy the company of fellow Christians. And that's kind of been the essence of this passage we've been looking at. We took note of it last time. There are changes that take place. We're to have a proper attitude towards brothers and sisters who may not agree with us, especially in the area of certain liberties. And this same thread of thought is picked up again this morning that we're going to look at. And so tonight, this morning, verses 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last time we focused mostly upon verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so we reflected upon the statement there by Paul. The Scriptures, how thankful we should be for them. And, well, we use them because we need to learn. You see, we have so much darkness, we have so much ignorance, and so we need the Scriptures to learn about God, about His salvation. But add to that, as we work out this salvation, we said, well, you know what? We need some patience, and we need some comfort, and we need to be people of hope. Well, I find those in the Scriptures. They are commanded of me. I see them illustrated. And we even considered the fact that the Word itself, which is alive and active, helps develop, you see, this patience and this comfort and this hope within me. And so he's going to pick it up again this morning. And what is he going to do? Well, he's going to point us to the source. Yes, you have the Holy Scriptures, but God Himself. God Himself, he tells us, is the source of patience, the source of comfort. And I think there might be a translation or two even put the word source in there. They do that because whatever it means to you in the original grammar, you have this genitive, and it's a genitive of source. And so they want to expand upon it and say, He is the source, you see, of patience. The source of comfort. Well, that is true, but the word there says, of the God of patience and the God of comfort. Well, as we look at this, we want to start off with the fact that the apostle puts forth here we'll call it a description of God, or he puts forth a title for God. And the very description of God, the titles that God carries, should be an encouragement to us. You notice how he describes God here. And it's not an exhaustive description. He refers to him as the God of patience and comfort. In other words, he's already made mention of it in verse 4, but here it's somewhat of a prayer. And he says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Well, we have this word patience, and you could translate it differently. You could translate it as endurance. You could translate it as perseverance. Or the old King James, you said, long-suffering. And you see, as Christian people, wouldn't you agree that we really need some patience? That's an area where we can really improve. Patience. We need patience. Well, for sure we need patience with other people. And you need patience when you're out on the streets with these crazy drivers. And you need patience with the kids. And you need patience with your husband. And you need patience, you see, with your wife. You need patience at the workplace. We need patience with ourselves too, don't we? And then, as strange as it sounds, we need to exercise patience toward God. Not that there's anything wrong with God, but we really want to tell God how to do it, when to do it, how soon to do it. We need to be patient. We need to consider that exhortation, wait upon the Lord. So I think all of us here would agree, you know, I could use an increase in patience, you see. Well, what about this matter of patience? Well, God Himself wants us to know, and He reveals to us, that as regards His character, He is a God of patience, you see. And here you have, back in the book of Exodus, you have God revealing Himself to Moses. He's revealing His name, which means He's revealing His character. Here's what He wants His people to understand. They have been brought out, you see, of the land of Egypt. In verse 5 of chapter 34, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, there's that word patience, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth and keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. But you know, he wants them to understand and remember, I am a God of long suffering. I am patient. And certainly they could, people of Israel, the children could think about, yes, he is very patient. He's been patient with us as his people. And you know what? He showed a lot of patience to those pagan Egyptians also. And then again, he brings it up later on in the 14th chapter when you look at the book of Numbers. Before the people go into the land, he wants to remind them, I am a God of patience. And oh, how thankful we should be that God is this God of patience. And his patience even extends to the unconverted. You remember last time we looked at those words recorded in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. He said in verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Oh, the patience, the long suffering that God extends to the reprobate, you see. And you can go all the way back and consider during the days of Noah. And you have it as said in Peter, that divine long suffering wherein 8 souls were saved. But oh, how patient he was with all those ungodly ones. And then when it comes to speaking to Abraham and one of the covenants with Abraham, he says, you know, for about 400 years you're going to be in this particular land. And for 400 years, these Canaanites are going to keep increasing in their wickedness, for you see, their iniquity is not yet full. 400 years! With all of that nastiness that they engaged in. The Lord, you see, is very patient with people. And if you think about it, don't we see that patience of God every day? And doesn't it sometimes bother us that God can be so patient with wicked people? You probably know a few wicked people personally. If not, you read about them, you hear about them, and you wonder, well, why doesn't God do something? But he is so patient. Isn't he so patient? Look at all these abortion clinics every day, slaughtering little babies. All those involved in promoting this same-sex marriage, where's God's wrath? How patient. How patient. And you remember that psalm we sometimes sing, those wicked ones are just building up more and more guilt, becoming more and more fat for the day of judgment. God is patient. And then, of course, we can think about the fact that God is quite patient with his elect while they are still in a state of nature. He's quite patient with his elect, those who are still in what we refer to as a state of nature. They're still in a state of sin. And certainly one of the very well-known examples would be the man who wrote this epistle, the Apostle Paul. And what do we read? The stoning of Stephen. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge him with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad in the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And then, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And then again in chapter 9, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And then you know what happened. My, how patient God was with him. And then he makes a statement when he writes to Timothy, a faithful saint, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I am a pattern of his great patience, you see. And so if you sit here as a Christian, you can reflect back in your unconverted days. Wasn't God very patient with you? Very patient with you in your rebellion. And I know I think back. In high school, I had friends. God cut them off in their sins. Three of them, at least I can think of, cut off. Crazy drivers. But he didn't cut me off. And I was as guilty and as rebellious, more so than they were. The patience of God. And then at his appointed time, he calls us. And so he called you. And we'll say for some time now you've been a Christian. As a Christian, hasn't he been patient with you? Here you are, his adopted son, adopted daughter. Hasn't he been patient since he called you? Patient with your ignorance? Patience with being so slow to learn. Patience as regards your attitude. Patience as regards your motives. Patient with some of your prayers. You reflect back on some of your prayers. My, how fleshly, how worldly, how selfish. Patient. And undoubtedly he's been very patient with you concerning a particular sin or two you keep indulging in. Very patient. Our God is a God of patience. And we're thankful that God is so patient with us. And we're thankful that there are a lot of people that are patient with us. But why is it then we can be so impatient with others? Are we not quite impatient with others? Well, they ought to know better. Yeah, they should. And so should I. Patience. And so we need patience. And what the Paul is saying here, you better go to the source. To the one who can work some patience within you. But if we're a patient people, we're a persevering people, every so often what do we need? Well, we need a little comfort. You notice? Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. We all like comfort, don't we? The thing is, with reference to this word comfort, we usually put a meaning onto it that I don't think is quite biblical. You remember we looked at the word last time. It means to kind of call alongside, to encourage, to exhort, to really strengthen. But we think of comfort, what do we think of? Well, we think somebody kind of putting their arms around us and say, oh, now, I feel so sorry for you. It's like a mother, you know, the little boy falls and bumps his knee and he's boo-hooing. Mama picks him up. Oh, here, Mama, kiss it if you feel better. Is that better? And she holds him and says, "You know, would you feel better? I give you some cookies and milk." Mm-hmm. Now that's what we like, isn't it? Man, if I'm having, I just want people to feel so sorry for me, because you see, I always feel sorry for myself. But no, the biblical thought of comfort has to do with this matter of coming alongside and encouraging and strengthening the handle of the situation in which you are in. And so an example would be of the word used in Acts 15 when the apostles sent forth this letter to go to the churches. They read it, and man, they are strengthened and they are encouraged. And so you see, this is the thought of the word. The Lord gives you strength to deal with your situation. And we all like to quote the words of the apostle Paul from Philippians, don't we? "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." That difficult situation, He'll give you strength for that situation. And you remember Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit as the helper, the one who will strengthen, the one who comes alongside of you. And add to that, you remember when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit that would come upon the disciples, come upon the church. He says, "You shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes." The Holy Spirit gives us power. He gives us strength. Well, where do we go for that? Well, we should go to God. And you remember there are examples. You go back in the Old Testament, David, in that situation in which all the families had been taken away by the Amalekites, and the men wanted to stone him, and what does it say? Well, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Yes, we have that responsibility. Jude says, building yourself up in the most holy faith. And so for this encouragement, for this strength, yes, I need to think about what God has revealed, and I need to pray to God. "God, I can't do it. Help me." And the key is, a lot of times when you're reading the scripture and you see that these things are required and that is required of you, you should then and there, if at all possible, bow your head and pray and say, "God, grant it. I don't have it. Grant it to me. Help me. Work in my heart and mind. Lord God, help me to do what I cannot do in and of myself." Go to the source, you see. Go to God. And you notice what it says. Grant you. Grant it to you, you see. And so I need this patience. I need this comfort. And if I reflect on this past week, you reflect upon your past week. Was there a time or two you really needed some patience? You didn't have any patience. You lost your patience, as we say. Lost your patience with the kids. Lost your patience here, there. Oh, how we need patience. Well, how might I develop these patience? Well, of course, as I've already indicated, you go to the God who is the source of patience. You go to the God who is the source of comfort, the source of strength. You seek His face. You feed upon this Word. You pray in this Word, as the old men would say. Well, what am I to consider? Well, He's to grant you to be like-minded toward one another. There it is. In other words, we're all to think the same thing, cross the T, dot the I. That it? No. In the context here, of course, he's dealing with this matter of liberties. But you notice what is said here. Grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, according to His will, according to His example. Well, we go back into the preceding context, and what do you find in verse 3? "For even Christ did not please Himself." That's where we're to be of the same mind. That's where to be the same heart. We're not to live to please ourselves. But we are to consider others. And so this would say, you see, to the strong brethren, quit living to please yourself. Quit living and thinking that, yes, you've got this liberty and you're going to exercise it no matter what. No! Quit seeking to please yourself and quit despising the brother who doesn't have the light that you have. You be patient with him. You try to lift him up. And by the same token, writing to the weak brother, hey, quit judging the strong as if maybe he's not a believer because he does this or that and you just can't do it. Quit pleasing yourself. But be patient with your brother. Try to bring some comfort into your brother's life. Well, what is the design of all this? Well, you notice that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I believe what he's saying here. And whenever we hear this matter of glorify God, our ears perk up. And so what he's saying that as a congregation, where you have peace, where you have harmony, where you have people being patient with one another, where you have people encouraging one another, there, God is being glorified. God is being glorified when people are in harmony. Or you remember what the psalmist said, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so as regards this matter of glorifying God, one mind, one heart, what would be involved in that? Well, what would be involved in that is when I come to the place of worship, I must very much consider my brother. Consider these words, and you've read them numerous times, from the Gospel of Matthew. And here it has to do with worship. And it comes out this way. We'll pick it up at verse 23 of the 5th chapter. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And so here's a man, he's at a very good place. He's at the place of worship. And as he is worshiping the Lord, it breaks in upon his mind, your brother's got aught against you. Well, I'm at the right place. That's true. But what about your brother who has aught against you? You go and make it right. And so wouldn't that affect a congregation if you know good and well your brother's got aught against you? We'll even make it a little closer to home. What about if you're a wife? Before you come to worship, what about your wife? Has she got aught? Is she upset? And the attitude is tough? That's not in harmony with the scriptures. That's not being patient. And doesn't it say, husbands, live with them according to knowledge? But then again, we might think of it this way. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I come to the place of worship and I've got a bunch of anger and disgust in my heart, does that contribute to the harmony? Does that contribute to the freeness of the work of the Holy Spirit? Don't I need to make that right? And so God is glorified, you see, when the saints come together and there is this oneness of heart and mind. There is this harmony and there is this peace and there is this patience with one another. And we need to be patient with one another. As James brought it out, he said, in many things we offend others. My wife and I were talking about this at the devotion. You know, it's so easy to see the faults of others, but you know, we have a lot of faults and we bother a lot of people. And so we need to be patient. Patient with one another, forgiving for one another. And so Paul says, go to the source of patience and comfort or strength. Go to God. We are to have these virtues in our lives. So the assignment in this coming week, select two people that you know, two people you're fairly close with, and really exercise some patience. You just haven't been patient with them, but just determined by the grace of God, you're going to exercise some patience. Little patience, make a big difference. And then again, select at least a couple of people. You're going to give them a little encouragement. We all like encouragement. You're going to let them know that you really appreciate them. At least two people. Maybe give them a pat on the back about something, honestly. I was reading an interesting article. It had to do with this matter of the human touch. How when we touch someone properly, we convey things. A pat on the back. That conveys something. It's very personal. And I remember years and years ago, over in San Diego, I think it was, and I was a speaker at a Reformed Baptist get-together. Quite a few people there. I was sitting out in the audience and they announced me to come up and speak, and as I got up, a brother behind me patted me on the back. You say big deal. It was a big deal. I thought about that as I walked up the platform. Well, at least there's one brother here for me. You see, that just little encouraging things. Let somebody know you appreciate what they're doing. And we can add to that this fact that a man reaps what he sows. He reaps what he sows. You sow out some goodness, you'll reap some goodness. Or as the Lord put it, I honor those who honor me. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Our Lord God, indeed, you are so patient with us, and in the light of this truth, we hang our heads and say, oh Lord, how impatient we can be with other people. Please forgive us. And Lord God, help us to develop patience. We do so by means of your truth. We do so by means of prayer. And we know that we are able to do all things through your grace. Bring about changes in our lives. We pray through Jesus. Amen.